He's being very polite. He's asking, may I stay here? No. Oh, he wants to drive. Okay, that's great. Well, I want to start today with a question. I have a question for you as we start, a question for you to ask yourself, and the question is, what's your bread? What's your bread? The answer I'm looking for is not like sourdough or rye, okay? You're going to see what I'm really asking as we look at our scripture reading today, but keep this question in your mind. What is your bread? So our scripture reading starts with a crowd of people who are looking for Jesus, and there's something that's happened before this. In verse 25, our reading starts with when they found him. And we're going to back up for a moment because people are looking for Jesus for a reason. We're going to back up to the beginning of John chapter 6 because that's kind of the backdrop. It's the background for everything that is happening in this exchange right here as Jesus is talking to a crowd of people who have come to find him. Do you know what happens at the beginning of John chapter 6? Anyone remember from Greg's Bible study last year? Looking at Greg. That's right. Jesus is feeding the 5,000. Jesus is feeding the 5,000. So what happened was that Jesus had been out teaching and performing miracles. That's what he did in his ministry quite often. A great crowd of people were following Jesus because they had seen Jesus heal people. They had saw him perform miracles. And this crowd follows Jesus out to a hillside where he is intending to teach. He did that often. He'd stand on the hillside. Lots of people could gather around and hear the teacher speak. And Jesus says to his disciples, looking out over this great crowd of people, Jesus says, we're going to feed these people. And his disciples are kind of like, what? We can't do that. We don't have food to give away. They don't have the money to buy the food. They say it would take more than half a year's wages, and they certainly don't have that to even give a morsel to everyone who's there. All that they have is a small boy and his lunch. They have 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so Jesus says, well, here's what we'll do. Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, kind of like a big lawn. And they sat down. And scripture tells us about 5,000 men were there. 5,000 adult men. So in addition to them, there would have been women and children as well. And Jesus is feeding maybe close to 10,000 people even, you know, give or take a few thousand. We don't really know exactly. But Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. All of these people ate until they were satisfied. And he did the same with the fish. So starting with just a few bits of food, Jesus was able to feed thousands of people. And this is a miracle, and everyone is amazed. Afterward, Jesus withdraws. He wants some time alone, seeks some privacy. Jesus withdraws from the crowd and crosses to the other side of the lake. And so then our scripture reading takes place the next morning. The people find Jesus. And they ask him, when they find him on the other side of the lake, they ask Jesus when he got to the other side. Because, you see, the people knew there was one boat waiting, and Jesus wasn't there when they all woke up the next morning, so they go looking for him. They didn't know how he got across the river or across the lake. Well, Jesus walked across the lake in the middle of the night. Didn't tell them that. So they ask, how did you get here? When did you get here? And the crowd is surprised. And so the crowd questions Jesus. They ask him this question, when did you get here? And Jesus replies, he says basically, you know, I know that's not really why you're here, to ask me that question, when I got here. Jesus says, I know why you're really here. And so Jesus answers, he says, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. And Jesus is saying to the crowd, you know, I know you're not here to follow me as disciples. That miracle I did, you're not here to say, wow, this is someone I really need to know, I need to learn from, I need to follow him. Jesus says, I know why you're here. You're here because you're hungry. You're here because you want some more bread. And Jesus starts to teach them what's really important. Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is telling them, you know, I have something more to give you. I'm offering you something more than ordinary bread to eat. I'm here to give you something more. Jesus says he's there to give them something eternal. And the people, if they want to receive what Jesus has to give, as he says in the next couple of verses, all they have to do is believe in him. But the people don't get it. They're still thinking about bread. They're still hungry. The people want Jesus to give them a sign. They want Jesus to do another miracle. And they don't quite come out and ask Jesus to feed them again, but almost. Because the people, they point Jesus to a miracle that God has done in the past. They say to Jesus, well, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And we can read about that miracle back in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And if you don't know that story, what happened was God freed his people from the nation of Egypt. He freed his people from slavery. And so the people escaped with God's help, but they escaped into the desert where there's not much to eat. Certainly not enough to feed the great nation of Israel that just escaped Egypt. And so the people grumble and they say, did God just bring us out here to let us die in the desert? Well, no, God provides for them. So what God does is God gives his people bread from heaven, which they called manna. Every morning the people would wake up and they would find this bread on the ground, kind of like the morning dew. And they could gather the bread up and they could eat it that day. That was how God provided for his people. That's how God cared for his people in that situation in the desert. God gave them bread to eat every day. And so the crowd points Jesus back to this story. They say, this is what God has done, where God fed his people bread from heaven. And here's what's really going on. And I think we've probably, most of us have been in this situation. You've been in the situation where someone really wants something from you, but they know it's not quite appropriate to come out and ask for it. Or maybe it's not polite. Have you been there? And so people kind of hint and they say, well, you know, maybe like your child, hey, all my friends are going out on the town tonight and I would really love to join them if only I had a car to drive. Something like that. And you know that sort of feeling. This is what the crowd is doing. They're saying, well, you claim to be from God. Well, God feeds his people bread. Don't you know that, Jesus? They're hinting. They're hoping Jesus will follow their lead and do another miracle and give them something else to eat. That's what's happening here. The crowd mentions this story to Jesus just because they want more bread. And so Jesus replies again. He's saying, you guys don't get it. Jesus is offering them something directly from God the Father in heaven. And it's pretty clear Jesus is talking about something more than ordinary bread. Jesus says the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus isn't talking about ordinary bread because ordinary bread can't do that, can it? The people say, well, sir, give us this bread. Here's the surprise. Jesus replies, I'm offering you myself. I'm offering you myself. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. And we know that ordinary bread can't do what Jesus promises here. Ordinary bread can't fill us up so that we're never hungry again. Ordinary water can't quench our thirst so that we're never thirsty again. No, what Jesus promises to the crowd here is not just bread, is not just water. What Jesus is promising to the crowd here is himself. And Jesus says that if you believe in me, he says, I will satisfy you. I will give you fulfillment. I will give you real life and real meaning and purpose. He says to the crowd, you're spending all this time working for bread and water that leaves you empty day after day. And so you have to go out again and again and work again and again. What are you chasing after? But the life I give you will never leave you empty. So let me ask that question again. What's your bread? That is, what do you spend your days chasing after? Because it can only satisfy you for a short amount of time, but then your desire, your need comes back. What's your bread? As I think about this question, I think one of mine might be approval. Approval. Having people tell me, like, I've done well. Having people, you know, say, hey, way to go, Joe. I love that feeling, and if I'm honest with myself, I can see that I am often seeking the approval of others. I can share a story. When I was in college, this was my third year in college, I had the opportunity to take on an extra project working with one of the professors there. So I did, and it seemed like a simple enough project at first. I was helping him build a laboratory experiment. This was like a teaching experiment, something they could bring out every year for class after class and show them. It was supposed to demonstrate certain principles of aircraft structures. I was an engineer, remember. And what it was, they had a big wing that someone had donated to the university. And so they put these little sensors on it, and we could push on the wing in different ways, and the students could see how it would bend and flex and things like that. And they could take certain measurements, and they would calculate different things about, like, stress in the wing, engineering stuff. I can tell I'm getting really technical. We were calculating things about stuff. That was the point of the experiment, and that's what we did. So I took on this project, on top of my regular load of classes, on top of a regular campus job I had, and it didn't seem like it would be too difficult to me, but it was. Different problems would arise with the project I had to take care of. Different details would need to be taken care of that I never considered beforehand, and I was the only one to do it. It was my job to get it done by the deadline, and I did it. But it just about burned me out in the process. I think I worked harder in that semester than I ever had before. I think I worked harder in that semester than I ever have since. For weeks on end, most of that semester, I would get up in the morning, I would head right to work, or I'd go to class, or I would go to work on this extra project, and I would work at those things all day, take a short break for lunch, maybe had dinner there in the lab working on this thing so I could just break for just a few short minutes, and at the end of the day, I would come home at night well after the sun was down, and all I had energy to do was maybe take a shower and fall into bed and sleep for 6 or 7 hours until it was time to get up and go and do everything again. It was hard, but eventually the project was done, and I could rest. And at the end of all of this, I got that approval. Well done. Good job. My professor was happy for me. That was what I wanted. That was what I was really working for. And as I think about it now, that was really why, I didn't just give it up and say, hey, you know what? You get what you get. It's not done. It's not where you want it, professor, but this is all I can do. The reason I kept working is because I didn't want to let him down. I wanted that approval. That's why I kept working so hard. And so I got that approval. But you know what happened next? Well, the semester ends. There's a break. Go home for a few weeks. Rest up. And then I come back. And what comes next is new classes. New work to do. Do it again. If I want that approval, I have to work again. I would have to work for it. That fulfillment didn't last. And so that's mine. That's what I was looking for. That approval. So what's your bread? What do you chase after that you have to keep working for day after day, week after week, month after month? What do you chase after, maybe even to the point where it keeps you from pursuing a closer relationship with Jesus? Because that's where I was at. I was so tired. I was doing so much that I didn't have any time or energy to think about my life of faith. It keeps you from seeking a closer walk from Jesus because you're too tired, you're too preoccupied, or you're just too busy to spend your time seeking him. What's your bread? For some of us, your bread might even be those basic needs. If you're like living paycheck to paycheck, then your bread might actually be bread, food, clothing, shelter, the basic stuff of life. You spend all your time seeking after those things. And Jesus, by the way, when he talks to the people in our scripture reading, they're really looking for bread. They're looking for food they need to live on. And Jesus says there's something more important. Maybe you spend all of your time seeking safety, physical safety. You're one of those people who walks around the house 3 times at night just to make sure all the doors are locked. You're always thinking about where you're going in town, where you're driving to make sure you don't get too close to those bad parts of town. You're always checking out the people around you because you're never sure who might be a threat. Maybe it's financial safety that you go after. You're always building that rainy day fund or that retirement fund because you have the magic number in your head. And once the number gets that high, then everything will be okay. But then you get there and you realize that's not really as much money as I thought it was. Maybe your bread is health. You spend all your time thinking about food, exercise, doctor's appointments, tests, and things like that. Maybe you seek belonging or acceptance, these relational things. You're always looking for more friends to spend time with, or you're looking for closer friends, more intimate relationships. Maybe you're always seeking family harmony and acceptance, and you're always the one trying to keep a lid on conflict or family problems. Maybe you're like me, and what you seek is, we can call it even self-esteem, self-respect, approval from other people, or recognition or attention, these things. I don't know what your bread is, what it is you're seeking, but you do. You do. You know what needs you're trying to fulfill. Let me say that on its own, it's not bad for us to fulfill these needs. These things are all part of being human. But if we want to live rightly, then these needs, they have to stay in their proper place. We take care of these needs one day, and then they're back the very next, and there is always something more important for us. Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And the good news here is that even though we can look at our lives and we can see ourselves chasing after so many things that don't ultimately satisfy us, not for long, even still, we have Jesus' promise that he will fulfill us. We have fulfillment in him. Jesus says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And to have this fulfillment, to have this rest and this satisfaction that Jesus offers us, we don't need to work hard for that, laboring day after day, week after week, month after month. Jesus tells us that all we must do is believe in him. When the crowd asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works God demands? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. Do you believe? I do. I do. In him we are satisfied. In him we have fulfillment. In him we can rest from all of this work. And because Jesus gives us this fulfillment, now as Christians, we get to live that out in our own lives. We know that nothing is more important than our relationship with the Lord. We know that we are fulfilled in him. Even so, it is still so easy for us to go back and start chasing after all these other needs and to imagine that if we can just do enough, then we'll finally be satisfied. But these other things can't truly satisfy us. So let me encourage you today to live fulfilled. Recognize that nothing in your life is more important. Nothing in your life is more fulfilling than your relationship with Jesus. And what that means is that the most precious moments of your day are those moments when you're in prayer, when you're praying alone, when you're praying with your family. The most precious moments of your day are when you're reading scripture, doing a devotion, looking at Bible stories with your kids. Because when we do these things, then we're seeking that food which endures to eternal life. When we do these things, we're experiencing the fulfillment that only Jesus can give to us. Make these things a priority. Pray. Read your Bible. Read other Christian books. Learn how to live. Teach your kids and your family these things too. Pray with them. Share your faith with them. Because Jesus is more important than whatever other daily need you might have. Jesus is more important than mowing the lawn. You can look at my lawn. We've got a pretty nasty lawn because Jesus is more important. Jesus is more important than getting to work 5 minutes early. Jesus is more important than cleaning the house or getting that breakfast in even. Jesus is more important. When you seek Jesus first, what you're doing is you're getting off that treadmill and you're letting yourself rest in him and the fulfillment that he gives. And we know that nothing can take this fulfillment away from us. No one can take us away from our Lord. Jesus says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those whom he has given to me, but I will raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Live fulfilled. Seek Jesus first, because in him we have life, fulfillment, forgiveness, and all good things. Amen.